When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Welcome to the Proust Questionnaire.
35 questions giving us insight into what makes creative people tick.
First of all, I want to apologize, Caroline, my partner in crime here can't make it today, but she is especially excited about today's guest. And before I get to our guest, I just want to remind people that you can find us on Instagram at proust.questionnaire. I'm uli.bear. Caroline is carolineweber2020. The Proust Questionnaire is available anywhere you can find your podcasts, of course, also on YouTube, etc., around the world, so tune in, and we post the new episodes on Instagram. And I am so excited to be on Zoom connected to Los Angeles today to have someone very special. So I wanna thank you. So we have Haas Lehmann, who is an actor. So first of all, Haas, thank you so much for making time today.
Oh, my pleasure, thank you for having me.
And you've had a big couple of years, and I wanted to introduce you to our listeners for a moment and make a special connection to someone else who was a guest before. So you're an actor, you've been in a wide range of films and TV shows, depicted a range of characters. I think people may know you, depending on what kind of TV and films they really prefer, from maybe The Visitor, which actually takes place partly in New York City at New York University, where I'm located and teach. And I remember this film really well, and you are playing opposite Danai Gurira, who is an NYU graduate also,
which yes. is
an amazing actor and a playwright herself.
Well, I mean, NYU is famous for producing amazing actors.
Some people are really good. So, and you were nominated for Best Supporting Actor for Independent Spirit Award for that role in The Visitor, which seems to have just become more timely, if anything. It's 2007, but the whole story, right?
That's a testament to Tom McCarthy. I mean, he's brilliant. I just watched his latest film. I look like an idiot for trying to, something water. It's about the necklace. It's amazing with Matt Damon in it. I was congratulating him. He's amazing. I always knew that about him. Just from the first time I read the screenplay for The Visitor, I was like, who is this person that had written this story? It's a timeless classic. But as you said, incredibly timely now, as we know what's happening in the south border of America.
That's right. That's right.
On and on and on. Yeah.
That's right. With so many people who are so in such precarious situations. So you play that, and then you've played Killing Jesus. You played actually a different roles also in this 2015.
Jesus. Yeah.
Hey, Jesus. Right. So a precarious person in a very different way, right?
But wait, don't forget though, like before that, you were saying like I played so many different parts to the point that I have fans, all kinds of fans, meaning like some of my fans have not seen all of my work. Well, most of them haven't. And so it depends on the people like who become my fans. Like for The Visitor versus Nurse Jackie was actually historic because I got to portray for the first time in the history of American television an openly gay Muslim character on American TV. So that was huge. And then, of course, the Jesus, to play Jesus, I never imagined in my life I get to the honor to actually portray Jesus.
And I love that range, the first openly gay Muslim character, Nurse Jackie, opposite
Anna DeVito.
Which is Edie Falco and Anna DeVere Smith, who we were so happy to have.
Oh my gosh.
And she's been a guest on the show, and she's been such an inspiring presence for so many people, also breaking all sorts of barriers.
Absolutely.
So for Nurse Jackie, you got that kind of recognition. And then this year, a lot more people, just in sheer numbers, have seen you in The Eternals. So Chloe Zhao's recent, you know, superhero extravaganza that Chloe Zhao and
Angelina Jolie, Salma Hayek, the cast is so diverse. I mean, it was, I think, the most historic Marvel film, right next to Black Panther, let's say.
That's right. That's a good comparison in a way that opens up an image of who is actually heroic on screen for so many people who had not seen themselves.
Well, a more accurate representation of the world that we live in. These right. people all exist. And, simple. And, finally, Disney and Marvel are trying to be like lead the world as a leading example for others, for other studios, hopefully will follow in their suit.
And what we're saying, it's a spoiler for those of you who have not seen it, but we encourage all of our listeners, go see The Eternals, go to the movies, go back to the movies. So you play a happy LGBTQIA plus character, a gay man in a happy relationship in a family who is in a committed relationship to a superhero who is an Eternal. And I think that is so important that you actually not kind of tortured by your identity, but you're giving an image on screen of an incredible commitment of real love. And when I was in the theater in New York, people were really, really moved and excited by this.
Well, I mean, how can I say this? Well, initially, I really wanted to be an Eternal. Let's be real. Who doesn't want to be an Eternal? but I don't think Marvel and Disney were ready for an Arab Eternal. I'm saying it bluntly, and I don't care, because I had auditioned for it. I remember auditioning for it, and they gave me dummy sides, you know, because that's Marvel, so everything's hush hush. And I remember I killed that stuff, like that audition when I went into the room. And then I think like almost like 9 months later, I hear that they're offering me the part that I ended up playing, which is Ben, who's an architect, who is happily married to Festus, the first openly gay superhero in a Marvel film. So a few things, history in the making, like first openly gay superhero, but then he's married, he's a family man representing what queer families, because now more and more there are queer families. And so initially, of course, I was, you know, hesitant about accepting that part, that offer. But then I realized that Disney and Marvel are really smart to cast me in to offer it to me, actually, because I didn't audition for it. Like, I auditioned for the Eternals, because they knew that I will absolutely humanize that queer family. And I'm very proud of myself that I did, because that was very important to me, me, myself being gay. And I'm in awe of all my friends who are queer families, meaning like I have two best friends who are lesbians and they're married and they have two gorgeous children. I have to tell you, sometimes I think, my God, like, I think queer families, like kids growing up in a queer family environment, is there's so much even more love. Mm. Like, given to those kids, love and attention and kindness. And for some reason, those kids end up being less judgmental, less racist, less sexist. I mean, all these wonderful qualities really actually are the result of growing up in a gay family, being raised by queer parents. And so I was on a mission to do everything I can in my hands and my power to humanize them. But at the same time, what happened is, you know, as an artist, I'm a truth teller. So I'm always thinking, how can I make that relationship come across as genuine and as truthful and as loving as possible? Because one thing for sure that all queer families have is so much love for each other. Whether it be the parents for each other or towards their kids. So I actually borrowed from my brother. My brother just got remarried and he married his soulmate. She happens to be Russian. And I think 1 month he learned Russian and he starts to speak to her in Russian. So I was like, well, I'm going to take that, borrow that. And then I'm going to actually decide that fastest. Learned Arabic because we're soulmates. soulmates, me, like my character, like our characters are soulmates, to just show how loving they are towards each other. And I suggested to Chloe, like, there's no way I won't be addressing my husband and say Habibi. You know, if I'm like Lebanese as a character movie, and I said, and it would be nice that I say a line about my mother, because, you know, that's an homage to actually my mom, which I have like so many pictures here behind me of her. And Chloe loved it. But, you know, of course, she had to run it by Disney and Marvel, because they like to make sure they approve of the lines. So they wrote the line for me that I was saying in Arabic. And they said, just go ahead and say it however you want to say it. I mean, of course, and I said it in like real authentic Lebanese style. That what really happened was something amazing that I never expected. So it was all coming from a very honest place on my ends. But then I keep now getting these videos from all over the world, but specifically Lebanon. In movie theaters, where the audience is like watching the film, and then the part where I actually speak Arabic, they get so shocked, and they're like, "Allahu," they like start like speaking loudly, and like so proud, like literally, like they keep telling me, "You made us feel so proud." Isn't that something? The power of film
and the amazing. Thing what you're saying is Marvel's reach is so vast. It's just about everybody around the world, kids. And I actually imagine what you were just saying, that young kids with their parents who may not be in that space yet because they're older, grew up in different places, and they're seeing their kids idolizing these characters and seeing you and Fastos on screen. And it's also very funny, the whole scene. It's a really funny scene. It's very moving. It's very emotional. It's very real. There's something about that scene, which is a key scene in the movie, and you have a role that actually facilitates what happens next. It's really great. So I just want to congratulate you. It's really nice. It must be nice to get people's feedback who say, I see you, and that allows me to be seen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot that I could say about that. I was really happy to get so much love from Arabs across the globe, literally to the point that they don't even mention the fact that I was playing a queer character. It was literally, I made them proud just by speaking Arabic in a Marvel film, something that I don't think ever happened that way before. So just that on its own became a thing. So I'm so proud of that. But then also on the other end, also the fact that I portrayed a queer character who is a parent, a very positive image of queer people, the LGBTQ people. Thank you, Disney. That's thanks to Disney and Marvel to decide that we want to show humanity through Fastos' queer family. And so I sometimes now get messages of people. It's really life-saving is what I'm trying to get at. People from all kinds of countries like Indonesia, you know, and countries where it's difficult to be queer, and queer people are really struggling. They're literally like living a lie and literally like in a prison. And they reach out to me like on Instagram, telling me, oh, I was standing on the bridge and I was about to jump, you know, literally, like over and over. So, of course, like for me, it's like, oh my goodness. And then I actually share with them that I was once suicidal. And of course, I make sure to let them know their value. And what is important is that they have to respect themselves first and foremost. They don't need to be respected or valued by anybody else but themselves. And then I say to them, let's make a pact. If I don't kill myself, you don't. And honestly, that moves them all the time to the point that they keep reaching out to me and talking to me and thanking me. So this is how powerful this is. It's really saving people's lives. Yeah.
But good for you. That's a lot of responsibility and holding you have to do for people. But good for you to actually...
I mean, I really don't think of it as a responsibility. I just have so much empathy and compassion, and that's a double-edged sword, as you know. You know? And in a way, like, if I can, of course I will. But I don't also drive myself crazy because I could. It's like not unlike that Trump era where do not watch the news because that's it's not going to be good for your health. And so for me, absorbing also a lot of this negative toxicity or whatever can really then affect me negatively. And I have to protect myself because I'm very sensitive.
We're going to go to, that's actually a nice segue to so some of the questions on the post questionnaire. I think it's going to be really interesting to people who will follow you on Instagram. So again, you're at Haaz, it's H-A-A-Z dot Sleiman L-S-L-E-I-M-A-N on Instagram. So people can follow you. You're going to get a lot of people after this, we hope. And I'll start you out with the first question. Haaz, what's your idea of perfect happiness?
Wow, that's such a good question because my mind is like, woof, having peace of mind. Mm. But then like when I say that, it's really, really knowing and appreciating and valuing the beauty that life is, I mean, the richness that life is, you know, understanding that what makes life rich is how diverse we all are as a human race, mm-hmm. You know? And most importantly is knowing your value, like, mm-hmm. because respecting yourself and knowing your value, if you don't, how can you be happy? And more than that, like as an example, my mom is so selfless. She's a Pisces and she's lived most of her life sacrificing everything for everyone, for us, the kids, for my father, may he rest in peace, her husband, to the point that she forgot what makes her happy.
Mm-hmm. Dito, what is your greatest fear?
Is that all of the work that I've been doing in my life, my career, is undermined and underrated and not given the value that it should be given because it hasn't been an easy journey for me. So for me, that is my greatest fear, that I get defined by that, mm-hmm. and not that I actually am an actor who cares so much about humanity because I'm an artist because of love. Love is my inspiration. So I consider myself a truth teller. And so that's probably my greatest fear, that gets lost in the ignorance of, unfortunately, the world that we live in, you know. Yeah.
What is the trait that you most deplore in yourself?
Huh. These are good questions, my friend.
Oh, yeah, they're kind of hard. Some of them are really hard. Some of them are going to be easier, not to worry.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're really like waking me up. And I just had my coffee, which is perfect. I actually woke up a little bit late today. Well, I mean, you know, like it's been a journey. So I guess I should answer it with where I'm at now, right? You know, not go back in the past. Is that I, after everything I've been through, coming out, doing everything I've done, I came out on social media in 2017, so not long ago, and yet, oh my God, I am so much more confident. I don't care what people think about me and whatnot, but yet with all of that progress that I've done and the work that I've done and that I love that I've been getting and praise and all of that, I'm having a hard time still getting over the cripples of the past. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. You know, you grew up in a certain environment, mm-hmm. you're raised by certain parents, mm-hmm. certain culture. And that shapes you. And I've made a lot of progress in that department. But even with all of that, and even my dad, 2 months prior to his death, as if he knew, he felt he was going to die, he finally was like, I accept you, my son, you know, like all that stuff. And I'm not mocking it only because it doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Okay. I'm grateful that he said that, but it doesn't mean anything. I think, though, the thing that I probably deplore the most is I'm still failing at having that successful personal life that I've always longed for, mm-hmm. because it's still coming from that place of the value that I give myself in terms of being in a long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. Because that's also one of my biggest dreams. I'm a very romantic person. Mm-hmm. I would love to be married, have a husband, have kids, just like in the Eternals. And it's been difficult for me because I think over the years of feeling, you know, the lack of self-worth and self-respect has been the reason why. And so that is probably the part that I deplore the most. It's like, I've made so much progress, but yet it's still, some of it is still there. And so I'm learning, I'm going to say this to you. I'm learning that even if I deplore that, I will remain kind to myself and I'll remain to be proud of myself, because that's the most important thing. And that's, I hope all your listeners really listen to what I'm about to say. A lot of people in this world are the cruelest towards themselves. And it doesn't matter your sexual orientation. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your ethnicity or religious beliefs. That's a very universal thing. And that I wish people would talk more about, you know, like how you talk to yourself when you're alone.
Mm-hmm. What's it, the trait you most deplore in others?
Narcissism, thoughtlessness, and someone who's unkind, thoughtless.
Which living person do you most admire?
Ooh, and that's such a big umbrella, because now, like, what, the art, you know what I mean? Like, which living person? I have to say, this new, beautiful angel human being that came into my life, who's a professor at Stanford University, Dr. Ramzi Salty, just came into my life, and he's like the father that I never had. And so I have to say, probably him now. But you know, you're probably asking that question. I should probably answer it with someone who's really famous.
No, it's a great answer. It's actually answered from where you are. It's perfect.
Yeah, he's Arab American, but he has the show Arabology, and he's proud of his heritage, and he's really trying to, you know, create this sort of like environment where Arabs help each other, support each other, not unlike how Jewish people do and Black people have been doing, so and Hispanics have been doing. It's quite shocking that still does not exist for Arabs, but that's what his legacy is, and he makes me proud to be Arab.
Give us his name again. What's his name?
Dr. Ramzi Salty.
Ramzi Salty. I'll put it in the notes to the show. That's great. What is your greatest extravagance?
God, I love expensive things, specifically with clothes. Tom Ford suits. My dream is to buy every type, color, shape, form of Tom Ford suit. I want to have a closet full of Tom Ford suits in every color. Right. With also like the matching Tom Ford shoes and the matching Tom Ford button-down shirts and everything you can imagine in terms of having a complete Tom Ford look. I'm in awe of him. I think he is the epitome of elegance and class and grace. And, you know, he happens to be a queer man.
Yeah.
Who is probably one of the most loving husbands I've ever seen, you know, how his relationship with his husband is and how much he appreciates him and whatnot. And let's not forget, Tom Ford is a wonderful filmmaker.
Filmmaker, exactly. I was thinking about that too.
Yeah.
What is your current state of mind right now?
You know, I'm really trying to produce my own content, because I finally understood that, you know, me coming out in 2017, like I said, I'm an actor. First, yeah, sure, I'm gay, I'm Muslim, I'm Arab, I'm Lebanese, but that all of that doesn't matter. What matters is my skill, my ability in terms of how I've been trying to master, not trying, I've been mastering my craft And I keep wanting to get better and better because of that, because I care so much about my craft. Because again, the reason why I'm an actor is to give my love to the world. And i.e. the Eternals was an example of that. People, you know, like I'm making them proud. Mm-hmm. I'm giving them hope and all of that. Mm-hmm. So after me coming out in 2017, you know, I'm an actor that plays leading male roles. I'm not a character actor. That's been so difficult now because for me, it breaks my heart that, you know, like, let's just say, do you care if your dentist is gay or bi or straight? You know, you want the best dentist who is gentle enough to mm-hmm. and thoughtful enough to do the best work for you. And so, and then you, when you leave, you feel good, right? Or a plumber. Right. Do you care if the plumber is gay or straight or whatever? You want the best plumber. So why is it different with actors? And so my current state of mind, or like the state of being right now, is frustration. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to use that frustration. Why? Because why do I say frustration? Because unfortunately, Hollywood still has a lot of growing to do. You know, they claim they're so progressive. Not so much, because here we are in this world where, you know, me being an openly gay actor is suffering from sexism. And the reason why I say that is it's cool for a straight actor to play a gay character. What an honor, my goodness. Right. But for a queer actor, openly gay actor, who is skilled, I always add value to any production that I'm part of. I'm that confident. But for me to portray, let's say, James Bond is an embarrassment, is an abomination. Mm-hmm. So for me, that breaks my heart. And so I've been like trying to channel my frustration into producing, like I'm producing this TV series that's going to be like this epic show written by Arabs, about Arabs for the world. Think Spartacus meets Game of Thrones under the umbrella of Black Panther. And then I have this wonderful screenplay written by the incredible Richard, Academy Award nominated writer, Richard Friedenberg, who got nominated for his work, A River Runs Through It, starring Brad Pitt. And he wrote with my dear friend Tani Cohen as the producer. It was her idea. It's basically a modern take of Jane Fonda's Coming Home. But the difference is the main character is an Arab American soldier. Mm. That couldn't be any more timelier. Yeah. So I'm really thrilled now. I'm like really, I don't want to say shopping for directors, but I'm excited because I'm like excited about the idea of this director. And I'm definitely want to make sure I want to try to get a female Arab director to direct this film. That would mean a lot to me. Like for instance, Shirin Daibis, you know, she's wonderful. And one of her wonderful films is Amrika. And not only is she, she's Palestinian American queer female director. So for me, that would be incredible. Or Najma Nashad, who's also a Palestinian writer, filmmaker.
Well, but it's good you're turning your frustration into creative projects. That's great. That's actually nice to hear.
Well, I mean, I have to. Otherwise, I have to. Otherwise, I would go crazy, or I would have to, I don't know, go right. Work. I work at a zoo because I love animals so much.
What do you consider the most overrated virtue?
People who are defined or give their value themselves by their possessions.
Okay, yeah. On what occasion do you lie?
What occasion?
On what occasion do you lie? Yeah.
Oh, whew, look at you. On what occasion do I lie? I mean, I'm a human being. Who hasn't lied? Has lied by saying that they have never lied, number one. Like Jesus Christ, when he said, like, any one of you who has not sinned, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. It's simple and clear. Like me growing up in Lebanon in the 80s, mm-hmm. I had to lie about who I am. I mean, okay. That is really the worst thing any human being can do to themselves. Like, I betrayed myself. So, that's really the worst thing that I rely on.
The next question is a weird question. So, what do you most dislike about your appearance?
You know, right now I don't anymore.
Yeah.
But I used to like that dimple that I have on my chin when I was a kid. I used to hate it. Because
you know,
people would like say, like, oh, that looks, look at your butt chin.
Right.
I compared it to, I'm sorry, to an ass. But now I actually love it.
Good.
So now I actually really can't tell you that I dislike anything about myself, because that's such a silly thing to even think about.
We've had that answer actually from other people. I remember Sophia Chang, who is a writer, she's a music producer and a writer, and she said, nothing. Like, which living person do you most despise?
Donald Trump. And I say it like that because there's more others, but I also say it like that because I get it, man. Like, I get it. You know, he was raised by a psychopath. His father was a psychopath. So what do we expect, you know? So in a way, like, I hate saying that I despise him, and I even hate, like, that question, because, you know, us human beings, you know, even the people that murder other people or commit the worst crimes, they came from somewhere and something, and then somehow somewhere that made them who they were. And so is it their really, really their fault?
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
The next two questions are, this is a questionnaire originally made 100 years ago, so it's very, very dated. What is the quality you most like in a man?
Thoughtfulness.
What is the quality you most like in a woman?
I was going to say thoughtfulness again.
Which words or phrases do you most overuse?
I'm going to answer it differently, so I don't care if it's right or wrong, but I'm so passionate. Sometimes that exhausts me. So, anything that I love is basically my answer, is how I speak about it, you know, with such passion and excitement that I come across like a child.
What or who is the greatest love of your life?
My mother.
Who has a pic? It was a picture right behind you, right? On I'm talking to you on Zoom, right?
There she is.
And what's her name?
Duja, which means darkness. My mom is gorgeous. The reason why she named that is because her father's brother, who was very young, died when she was born.
Oh.
And then they said, if she comes out ugly, they'll add Badrit Duja, which means the light of darkness. But my mom came out to be gorgeous, that she made the name Duja a light.
Nice. When and where were you happiest?
You know, it's such, life is a paradox. I would say now, because I'm so comfortable in my own skin, yet also I'm haven't been as miserable as I am out as well. You know, so that's because of what I was talking about,
right,
in terms of how Hollywood is, backwards.
Which talent would you most like to have?
I sing. Actually, I wanted to be a recording artist. It would be to have a voice like, you know, one of the greats.
Yeah,
because music saved my life in a way, as a child growing up in Lebanon. So for me...
So what's a talent you would like to have, since you are a singer? Like, is there something you would like to be able to do?
To be an excellent dancer.
Okay, so when we see you in Dancing with the Stars, and
that's my worst nightmare.
There's your challenge, huh? There's your challenge.
Because I love dance so much, it can make me cry. Because I love it so much, I would be frightened to do it.
If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
To not give the past so much weight, but rather really let the past empower me.
What do you think is your greatest achievement?
That with everything that I've been through, and really living a journey that I could tell you I've lived this very sad life. And yet I have accomplished what I've been able to accomplish.
If you were to die and come back as a person or a thing, what would it be?
Definitely, I would love to come back as a woman. Yeah, yeah, I'd love to come back as a woman and experience life, because I love being a man. I'm a man. And however, though, I think like a woman and I feel like a woman. And most of my friends are women. And I love women so much. So, yeah.
Where would you most like to live?
The place where it has been untarnished by humans, where it's full of nature and wildlife.
Not New York City, not Los Angeles.
Exactly, yeah. Nature that has been untarnished by humans and that is just full of that magic that God has created for us. Mm-hmm. There's so much wisdom in nature and in animals, I find.
What is your most treasured possession?
Possession, I was going to say my mother. She's not my possession. You know what I mean? But I feel almost like she belongs to me. She's my mom.
Yeah. That's a nice answer. It's sort of.
Can I say that?
I understand what you mean. Yeah, it's like she belongs to you. What do you regard in general as the lowest depth of misery?
I mean, I already mentioned it. Like, to get to the point where you don't want to live this life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, when that is the saddest thing. Like, when you get to the point where you don't want to exist, what does that mean? You're at a point where you think you're not only don't matter, you are nothing. Like you're the way that you look at yourself and value yourself is null, is zero, to the point that you want to end your life. That is the lowest.
What is your favorite occupation? And we think that means, what would you be doing professionally if you weren't an actor, if you weren't doing what you're doing now?
Either a fashion designer, because as I said, my love for women, I love to make women, I love empowering women. And so that would be my way, because I also like love fashion. It's an art form. And I used to always draw women dresses in classroom, even though I shouldn't have, but like, I didn't care. I would draw every day. I would just like draw or something has to do with animals, like meaning like making sure we're protecting, you know, wildlife. I have so much respect for people that do that, you know, in Africa, like fighting against the poachers or the people who have those shark boats that come to attack other boats who are trying to, you know, hunt whales, for instance. And, you know, never mind how much sharks we're killing every year and whatnot. That would be either that or that.
What is your most marked characteristic, which we think means, what do people notice first about you when they meet you?
My warmth, and that I'm very, very genuine, and almost like it's confused as people. Like, is this for real? Maybe because not a lot of people are like me, but I'm so genuine and honest, like a child is. You know, children when they're young, they say whatever they say, and that can get them in trouble. But guess what? They don't, because they're forgiven. But with me, when it happens with me, I'm a grown ass man. So when I am actually that honest and genuine, sometimes it can be funny, sometimes it can be awkward, but many times it moves people actually. So I would say, just the fact that I'm so transparent and genuine.
I was thinking in your previous answer about being a fashion designer, we interviewed Isaac Mizrahi. And what's funny why I just thought about that, because he grew up in a Syrian Jewish household in New York, and he was a young kid. He also was drawing in class when he shouldn't have been. He was always interested in fashion, mm-hmm. and he loves animals, and he's involved in all these charities for adoption, mm-hmm. adopting pets and everything. So in some ways, I'll send you the link, but it's a really beautiful interview.
That's so interesting too, you know, like the connection in that way.
That's right. That's what I was thinking. Exactly. He comes from this very strong family background. And then he said he would sort of start and his family couldn't quite make sense in the beginning when he was a little boy, why he wanted to be a fashion designer.
Right.
makes sense.
Especially with his background too, of course. Yeah. Makes sense. But also, like, I have to say, like, it's a very common thing amongst people who are empathetic and specifically artists. Like, they really have that in common, which is the love of animals somehow. It's a very common trait.
What do you most value in your friends?
Thoughtfulness. I mean, that is the most important thing for me. Mm-hmm. So honestly, I have to say, no, what takes even more, like, what's more is how genuine they are, really, truly. If they're really genuine, that is something I value so much, because, meaning, what does that mean by genuine? Are they people who are honest? Okay. You know, that's it. Like, if you are someone who's honest, that means what? You're not afraid to say something that might hurt me, but because you're saying it because out of love. That is the most thing that I value in my friendships.
Who are your favorite writers?
That's a tough one.
Actually, you know, we actually had a conversation on Instagram, because you posted a post on Khalil Gibran on the prompt.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. That's it.
I was like thinking, actually, that's when we connected, because I wrote to you that I love that book.
Yes, thank you. And honestly, right before you said that, I was like, of course, Gibran Khalil.
Right, that's what I thought. Like, you know, actually, right?
I got chills right now, because it's like almost like,
I know you're going to say that, like, you know, because we already communicated about that, right? Yeah,
absolutely. Gibran Khalil Gibran, my God, yes. And I just recently discovered, because of Dr. Ramsey, my new, like, you know, chosen father, he told me that one of my absolute favorite songs by Fayrouz, Habbu Babun. It's such a beautiful song that it just moves me every time. But then that led to us talking more about Fayrouz, because we have that shared love for our icon, our beloved, iconic face of Lebanon. And one of my favorite songs that she had sung is "Atini Naya Ghani." So I did not know those were the words written by Gibran Khalil Gibran from the book The Prophet.
Amazing.
And oh goodness, once I discovered that, the love that I have for that song grew even bigger. Gibran Khalil Gibran, absolutely. And, you know, Salma Hayek made that animation based on that book, because her grandfather is Lebanese and he had that book.
It's beautiful. And it's kind of a rare book. I teach it all the time, and I have shout out to my other podcast. I do a podcast on books. I have an interview on The Prophet, partly because it's such a important book for almost everybody who grows up in Arab-speaking countries. But in America, it's actually one of the most translated books in the world. It's an amazing book. Yeah, so Gibran, The Prophet. Who is your hero of fiction, like a character, and we could be fiction or film, an invented character that you think is a hero?
Julie Andrews in The Sound of Music.
Really? Why do you identify with her? Or what's your...
Oh my God, she was everything to me as a kid. Imagine, like, this Lebanese kid, and what did I say about music? Sound of Music is the epitome of that. Julie Andrews was like my second mother. I always wanted to be in that film and amongst those kids that she was actually taking care of. It's just everything about her, her portrayal in this film and the character that she played, everything about that just was to me magnificent. Like, it was the epitome of what a woman should be or is, or a mother. Like, she channeled all of that in this film, in this role. And let's not forget the music, that's iconic music that I still listen to, by the way. And I still sing today. Yeah.
Which historical figure, a real figure, do you most identify with?
I mean, you know, Martin Luther King. I mean, he is someone who, James Baldwin.
Okay.
And Martin Luther King.
Yes. Who are your heroes in real life?
My mother.
Nice. Yeah.
Because she really went through a lot. Yeah. And yet, she's alive. And alive and kicking. And no matter how life has beat her down, she is an example of human resilience for me. So I look up to her. You know, the things that she's been through, that woman. And yet, look at what she's raised. Someone who's loving and cares about humanity.
Where's your mother live now? Where did she,
Lebanon, but now she's in Emirates visiting my two other brothers.
Okay.
Because my brother has, I have a new baby niece.
And, oh, nice.
Yeah, so my mom's like elated. She, you know, she's in heaven.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's nice.
Thank you.
What are your favorite names?
Names? Any name that is unique and different. That, like, my mom's name is like weird to people. They're like, what is that name? I also, when I was a kid growing up, I was like, why is my mom named Duja? There is no Duja ever. I've never met any other Duja in my life.
Really?
I like names like that. I like names that you've never heard of before and that are weird sometimes and unusual. So I hope this answers the question.
Absolutely. Yeah. What is it that you most dislike?
Greed. Because I was like, it falls under the umbrella, like corruption is under the umbrella of greed, right? So I'm just thinking of that, like the word that is a big umbrella that includes so many things. I would say, because deceit, it comes from greed, let's say. Yeah, greed.
What is your greatest regret?
Betraying myself for so long.
How would you like to die?
Not feeling pain, like, to just like, like the quicker it happens, maybe in my sleep or something, that would be amazing.
And what is your motto?
How do you expect that people respect you if you don't respect yourself? And more importantly, if in life, if you want to be successful, you better add value to life, to whatever it is that you want to be part of.
Yeah.
So how do you expect to add value if you don't give yourself value?
And Haz, we add is a question to this questionnaire, which wasn't part of the original one, which is, who would you like to see as a guest on this podcast, on this show? And I also want to just remind you, I was just thinking while we were talking, you know, we've had Alice Wu, the director who made one of the first grade LGBT Asian American romances, two movies, which are beautiful movies. We've had Jeremy Harris, the author of Slave Play. We've had Sameh Zoabi, who's a Palestinian filmmaker who made Tel Aviv on Fire. We've had Amir Victor Diop, who's a Senegalese photographer. So we have a lot of people who come from different places and use their art and their skills to really expand the idea of, for some people, what creativity can be. But just if you think, like, if the sky is the limit, so who should we invite to be on the show?
Can I say two people?
Absolutely, yeah.
Dr. Ramzi Salty.
Okay.
And the legendary, iconic Palestinian, fine, Arab-Israeli actress, Hiyam Abbas, who played my mother in The Visitor, by the way.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, that's a great idea.
But guess what? Because the world really doesn't really take Arabs seriously. They don't give Arabs value. And she is an icon in every sense of the word. Mm. So yeah, those two people, Dr. Ramzi, to me, it makes me proud to be Arab.
So maybe we'll try to contact them. And once we have edited this interview, we'll send them this interview with you. Maybe they'll be interested in participating.
Oh, honestly, if you do that, that would mean the world to me, and that would probably make it cry.
We'll reach out to them. We'll see. I mean, it's, for us, it's just such an amazing opportunity to learn. And I just want to thank you, Haz, for being so being very open to actually tell us. And I was very moved when you said that people contact you on social media who really are struggling in places where there's so little support and recognition, and that your work in that way can touch people far out of the Hollywood machine of a huge movie that's supposed to make a lot of money. There's a business part to it, but there's a very human part to it. And what you talked about is that you want to put a truth on screen for people that they can find their own truth in.
Yes, my job is to remind them that they're not alone. Remind people that of what they're capable of. Remind them of how powerful they are, can be, and to inspire, to empower. And also, like, just the fact to say, you're not alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God. Like, I Madonna had done that to me as a kid growing up in the 80s in Lebanon, for instance. I thought I was the only gay kid in the world.
Yeah.
And then, lo and behold, here she comes, saving the day for me, giving me hope, for instance. So just, and that's, you know, I wish I didn't even mention the gay part, because that is such a universal thing. There are so many people out there in the world,
yeah,
and queer, not queer, not, who are alone, who feel they're, you know, they're lonely for whatever reason. And so I feel, in terms of maybe what they're going through, they feel alone, or who they are, they feel alone. And that, just that on its own, to me, is so important that I can, that I'm actually able to do that for people.
And it's, I think while we were talking, I think some of the questions of this this questionnaire, which the novelist Marcel Proust made really popular 100 years ago, I think they go to this place where people think, who do I admire? Who is my love? Who do I respect? Who's inspired me? To think you are not totally alone. Maybe if you think there's a way to connect. And I think this is what the interesting thing, some of the questions are more entertaining, maybe what's your favorite name, but they open up a window into someone to say, people are actually, they want to feel connected.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, especially now. I mean, I'm sure you have not forgotten those last 4 years of Trump, and basically how lies have spread so easily and fast, way more than the truth. Right. So we are now living in a world where people are believing the lies, which is causing us to disconnect from one another and creating more of that. Like that scenario of like people feeling alone, or it's really the lack of understanding of each other. It's that sort of, that is creating this sort of divisiveness, which is the other. And that only comes from ignorance. And so now, even more than ever, how important is that, you know, for us to really be a light and be truth tellers? You know, to help people see themselves in something that I'm in. Like, oh, but I went through that too. Oh my goodness. And then that gives them hope somehow. You know, I do believe social media is a double-edged sword, as we all know, the social dilemma. But also there are positives about it, you know, but then the negatives, unfortunately, sometimes really overshadow them. And so I feel like it makes me even want to, you know, keep on like make it, putting out more work and more work to actually counter that.
Well, Hazi, like, you're really an inspiration. It's really wonderful. And I love the energy you bring to it. I want to see the show you're writing cross between Game of Thrones and Spartacus with. let's get that on screen for you, right? So.
Oh, and then don't forget the American Hero movie that is based on Jane Fonda's Coming Home. And by the way, I just acted opposite Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin and Paul White's dark comedy feature film that he had written and is still directing. And that, I mean, I was like in heaven when I did that. But yes, it is really based on modernizing Coming Home, Jane Fonda's Coming Home. And so I'm super excited about that one, because America needs to see a film like that.
That's fantastic. We want to talk to people like you because you're making such a big difference. It's such a great thing to use your art, to use your work for that. So we don't measure, this is where social media becomes complicated. I don't measure in terms of how big is someone on Instagram. I'm interested how much of an impact do you make. And that's very different. You know, it's not always just numbers. It's actually, you are reaching so many people to whom it really matters.
You know, thank you. That says a lot about you, number one. And we need more human beings such as you, yourself, my friend.
Thank you for tuning in to the Proust Questionnaire. Haz is on Instagram at haz.proust, Sleyman. So we'll find you there, and we'll post this on all of our links at Proust.questionnaire. And we want people to go out and see the movies that are online, The Visitor, Jesus, definitely The Eternals, and all the former episodes of shows like Nurse Jackie that you've been on. So, and I really look forward to
seeing Dorfman in Love. Like, it's really a lot that I actually now forget what I've done, honestly. But thank you for all of that.
And we'll put all the links in the notes of the show.
Thank you so much for your love and support. It means a lot.
Great talking with you. Thank you so much.